Hello and welcome to the Craft Podcast for the craftscene.com site. I'm Bree Pettis, and I am a podcaster for Make Magazine, and now I'm setting up the podcast for Craft Magazine here. This is very exciting. I've got with me here Aaron Schaffkind. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Bree.
And Aaron is, I know Aaron from way back. She's a crafter and artist. I met her when I was an art teacher, and she's still an art teacher, and she's also an artist and crafter and photographer. Basically, she gets her hands into pretty much like anything. And I'm excited because she went to a class recently. Tell me more about this.
The class was led by artist Marita Dingus, who's a Washington artist, and it took place at a small nonprofit school called Pratt here in Seattle. And it was focused around making dolls, largely with recycled, reusable materials.
So you brought some of these with me. Share one of these with me. What do you got here?
I have my television set, and you can say, well, the television set's not a doll. But actually, I did attach a doll, and this is the TV set, including doll, of the quintessential I love TV and meat claim. So it's basically just a sewn rectangle with a photograph sewn into it and some buttons sewn on and a little label.
This is definitely like mixed media.
I like to work with mixed media. I also brought the tube people, and these are renditions of a drawing I do a lot of a simple shape person, circle and triangle, inside of a tube, and I turned them into three-dimensional pieces. I also brought some cubies, which have also migrated into becoming cube cats. And other creatures. These are plush craft wire buttons fleece.
Yeah, I'm looking at them. They're very cute and they're plushy. They're very soft and cuddly and squishy, and they have whiskers and stuff. Do you have any tips for ironing on? I've been ironing on lately, and it's been, you have to get the timing right.
You have to get the timing right. You have to get the heat right. You don't want them to be too hot. Some fabrics are hard to iron onto. I would say that fleece is pretty hard to iron onto because you can ruin the pile of it.
Right, it could melt.
Yeah. And don't do it on a carpet that's synthetic. I've done that.
What happens?
Part of the carpet melted.
Yes. All right. Craft disasters here.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. You've got a bunch of dolls here. Tell me about how you... You know, and when I first met you, you were doing photography. How did you get into making dolls?
Doll making was probably something I started really young, even before I started taking photographs. I think as soon as I could stitch, like just hand stitch, maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. My sister and I used to make pillows, and then we started making pillows that had mouths, and the mouths we would put little teeny pillows in. And we started making fish that would have a mouth. Like, we learned how to flip stuff inside out, and so you couldn't really see seams as much. And inside the mouth would be a little fish, and then sometimes you could pull that fish out of the mouth, and inside that fish's mouth would be another little fish. I've always enjoyed sewing, but becoming an artist, I did get into ceramics and painting and printmaking and eventually photography much more seriously. And I got back into it again actually when I made Little Roy. That was a major push to get back into the craft of just hand sewing.
Now, I met Little Roy for the first time at a Little Roy party, and I became like a member of some. Tell me more about how. I'm a friend of Little Roy. Tell me a little bit about Little Roy and his, what happened there? How did he come to exist?
Little Roy was created probably about 15 years ago out of old cut-off corduroy pants, corduroy, little boy. And I basically was in this place. I just wanted to make a doll, a friend, just a little fellow to be with. And I stitched him up, made a little body and legs and arms. It had three little fingers. And I made his head. And for some reason, I didn't sew on his head. It's sort of an ongoing thing that I might not finish a project. So I attached it with a safety pin with the intention of going back to sew it back on. Inevitably, it never happened. So the safety pin actually became part of his figure, part of his being. And now that's actually part of the visual of little Roy, that his head's kind of cocked to the side, and every once in a while it falls out of his foam body, but it just gets tucked back in there. And now he's used a lot in photographs, and you can read about him at littleroy.net.
And he's got quite like the following. I've got a t-shirt somewhere, and you're wearing your t-shirt, and there's somehow little Roy is like more than little Roy.
Oh yeah, I believe at this point he's become an icon or an archetype of friendship and sort of part of the human condition in a way, even though he's not human. I mean, he's a doll, but he represents friendship and loss in a way, sadness, helplessness, his head's attached by a safety pin. And a lot of other qualities. Honesty, he's a great listener. He's a true, patient companion.
And every year he gets his school picture taken.
Yes, and he gets a school ID. So this year he'll get his sixth picture. And I also make him little outfits, which I think is a wonderful aspect to his personality and to crafting, that I'll make little hats and clothing and just little accessories to go with him.
You know, I think that's like one of like the things about crafting is you can make something and then you can customize it, and like you added clothes and, you know, you're originally with your fish, you made them so they could go inside each other. And so you can, because you made it, you know how to make it more, I guess.
Yeah. And to me, creating stories that go with your characters, which a lot of artists and crafters do, just adds more to the personality. And I think to someone who may potentially, you know, buy this or be given this creature, you know, to their own story that's going to be connected. I think stories are a big part of doll making.
Stories are a big part of doll making, because it's like you can have a doll, but if it doesn't have a story, then it's just a doll. But if it's got a story or a relationship, then all of a sudden it's like it's alive somehow in your life. Tell me about the direction you're going with your crafting.
Well, a few years ago, I started to sew. And with a sewing machine, actually, because I've been sewing. But I started using a sewing machine. An old friend gave me a sewing machine, and that bumped my work up into a higher production. So that's when the QBs were created, because I could just get a lot more done in less time and sew little arms and turn them inside out and attach all these parts and attach everything. What I'm sensing now, though, is from just this past week when I took this workshop and I started including photography in my sewn craft work, artwork, that I could start to include my photographs with this soft sculpture. That's what I'm going to kind of refer to it as, soft sculpture with doll, art and craft, art joins craft.
So like your medium's like coming together, it seems like.
My main tools that I use are hot glue, needles and thread, scissors, and wire cutters. I think those are some of the main crafter tools.
What kind of scissors do you use?
The ones I have are they Fiskars? Yeah, these are really good fabric scissors. Fiskars are, you have to have good fabric scissors if you're sewing. You can't use them on paper. They're only going to be for fabric.
Yeah, I've had that problem where I've had scissors and they've gone to the paper side and then they don't come back.
Don't go to the paper side with your scissors.
All right. Okay, so let's go now to our first caller. I put out the word this week to have people call in and dare to dream and imagine their most wildest dream of, you know, of crafting. If they could craft anything without any limitations on on cost or materials or anything, what would they make? And here's caller number one.
Hey, this is Aaron Smith from AcademicAesthetic.com. If I had unlimited time and resources to craft something, I'd buy a bunch of saplings, and through a combination of weaving and grafting, I'd grow my own house. Thanks, and looking forward to the podcast.
Ooh, I like that idea. Making a treehouse, like growing your own treehouse. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it would take a long time.
You would have to be a very patient person with that one.
And would you get plumbing put in there? Or what about the bugs? I would have problems with the bugs.
You'd be like, some people like would have, yeah, bugs, woodpeckers,
but
beavers, like danger.
Right. You could use maple trees though and get your own syrup. As the tree's growing, as it's like around you.
Yeah, that's, and you could have fruit trees. You'd be like, I'd like some breakfast.
Right, that would be nice too. Maybe you could use different types of trees, but they would then probably grow at different rates, so that would be difficult to calculate how much growth.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much, Aaron, for your idea and sharing your dream. We wish you the best of luck. Go get yourself some saplings and rock the treehouse. All right, let's go to caller number two.
Hi, this is Steve Garfield from stevegarfield.com, and I'm a video blogger. When it comes to crafting, I'm a bit at a loss. So I'm going to need you and your podcast to help me get some ideas on what I can make by hand. I'll be listening.
Well, essentially you could make anything out of a video cassette if you fused them together. You could make a box, a shelving unit, a desk, but I would start small and probably start with a box.
And then like work your way up until you build like a set of condominiums.
Right, your own video cassette house.
Yes! All right. So besides being able to build things with the tapes, you could also rip the actual magnetic tape out. I mean, you want to digitally archive this first if it's anything you care about. And then you could have the tape and you could do all sorts of things with the tape.
Right. Knitting. Creating. Oh, my favorite one was the streamers that you hang in a doorway, like beaded strings or bamboo strings, but you would just have little filaments of tape coming down, and so as you walk through it would be soft and probably stick to you sometimes, but if it tore you just got some more.
Yeah, like you wouldn't want to like be all like sweaty and walk through the magnetic tape like
fringe. It would also make great fringe though for dresses or the bottoms of your pants or your suede jacket. The idea of creating hair. You could create a great wig, a wonderful Halloween costume, and be an analog monster.
Yes. Okay, so you have an assignment. Go out and do something with some videotapes, Steve. Okay, caller number four.
Okay, Bree. Dan Woods here with Make and Craft Magazine. I have got a challenge for you. I love jigsaw puzzles, and I have for a long time thought how cool it would be for me to be able to take photographs that I take and convert them into jigsaw puzzles. For example, I love baseball, and I've got all kinds of photographs of really cool baseball stadiums and ballparks. And I have often thought these would make impossibly challenging puzzles. And so my impossible challenge to you is, how can I do that in such a way that I can produce a really cool, entertaining, and challenging jigsaw puzzle, but do it over and over again for other photographs and not have the same pattern show up in each puzzle? Because obviously after a while, it would greatly simplify and ruin the puzzle assembly process if the pattern was always the same. Anyways, there's my challenge. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Dan. So the trick with jigsaw puzzles is that the way that they're actually made is that they have these very complicated die-cut machines that are like curved X-Acto knives that they smush onto like cardboard, and it cuts all the pieces out. So actually making one of those die-cut machines would be very challenging. Your alternative would be to do something like with a...
We're putting laminate over a photograph and putting it onto wood and cutting little squares out. it doesn't then, it's not, I don't know if it's then considered a jigsaw puzzle, but it would be a puzzle. What might even be interesting too is to create blocks that were a perfect cube, and then you could have different photos on different sides. So when you turned them, they would be different, you know, puzzles.
So that way you could actually have six puzzles in one. And part of the challenge wouldn't be then like, okay, do I get this exact little nub to fit into this exact little anti-nub? It would be like, okay, I've got like six puzzles here, and I have to put them all together, and I have to, on each cube, I have to figure out which puzzle goes with which face, and then when you're done, you still have like five more to do.
Right. It's kind of scary sounding, all the work that would go into it. I was also thinking, too, to keep a flat puzzle, if you wanted to do it yourself and not send it off to some company that did that die-cut machine process, you could put it on a piece of foam core and then have some real thick laminate go over it and then cut, you know, your own shapes with an X-Acto knife.
All right, Dan, thank you for your call, and we're on to our last caller of the podcast.
Hi, this is Sean Pompey of X Magazine. And I want to make my dream project, which would be a couch made of nickels. I saw one. We're going to have one in the magazine. And I saw one live and in person today, and I got to sit on it. And it's amazing. And I can't imagine such a thing. Maybe I could start first with nickels into a bracelet and then work up to my dream. But anyway, that's my dream. Thanks for asking. Bye.
Hey, Sean, that's an awesome dream. I went and looked at that couch on the internet, and it is really cool.
Yeah, it's like swanky cool, like lounge mode cool. I thought it was going to be hard, but it actually looks really comfortable, like body fitting.
And I'm not exactly sure how it was made. It looks like maybe it's welded or something like that. And so I can really see you getting some welding gloves on and the little hat and gearing up and making. I think that's a good idea to start with a bracelet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get on that. I want to see some cool nickel art. Yeah. I'm noticing that it would be a lot more expensive to make that if you used like quarters. That would that would go from like being like maybe a couple, maybe $100 to like that would be like
$2,000 or something.
All right.
Plus so just the labor and all that, you know, that goes into it.
All right, you've listened to the first Craft Zine Podcast, and I want to thank Aaron Schaffkind for being my guest.
And thank you, Bree Pettis, for having me. It was an honor and a pleasure.
And we're going to do more of these. This is very fun. Go ahead, if you haven't already, subscribe in iTunes or your favorite aggregator, and we will go ahead and we'll see you on the next one.